You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So next on the show today, we are joined in studio by news director Shamina Smith, who is talking to the author of Bad Feminist and Difficult Woman, Roxane Gay. Hello, Shamina. Hello, Joel.
Hello.
And hello, Roxane. How are you going?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you liking New Zealand so far?
So far, so good. It's very beautiful. It's green.
It is pretty green. It's pretty green. We'll give our country that. So just to get into it, to begin with, I was hoping we could touch a little bit on Bad Feminist. So when I read it, kind of felt like it was almost a revelation for me in terms of how everyone has contradictions and that's okay. You know, it's okay to have feminist beliefs and believe in smashing the patriarchy whilst also listening to rap music and shaving one's legs. Was this kind of your intention with the book, to provide an antidote of sorts to other narratives that suggest there are right and wrong ways to be a feminist?
Absolutely. I really wanted to just, at the time I was thinking through my own relationship to feminism and how I often found it intimidating to claim feminism, because oftentimes people make it seem like you have to be perfect, and I'm not perfect, but at the same time I am absolutely a feminist. And so I wanted to create a space for other women and men like me to feel like they can participate in feminism and also just be human and flawed.
Absolutely. And so one essay in which you challenge this idea of being a perfect feminist, and an essay that I feel like has particularly stayed with me in the years since I first read the book, is the one you wrote about trigger warnings. So in it you spell out an argument kind of against trigger warnings, which I think is a particularly brave thing to do, is critiquing trigger warnings. I feel like is seen as kind of an unpopular thing among a lot of people who identify with left-wing politics. Is this also something that you try to do with your writing, to sort of provide nuance to arguments, even though there might be backlash?
Oh, absolutely. I think that nuance is sadly lacking in much of contemporary discourse. And, you know, I'm a Libra, so I always try to consider all sides to an issue, sometimes for better and sometimes for worse. But I think that we have to be able to have complex conversations. And oftentimes when it comes to these sensitive issues, people make them very all or nothing, but that's not the way the world works. And so there has to be middle ground. There has to be a space where people with opposing viewpoints can have genial conversations and try and reach, you know, places where we can create actual change.
For sure. I mean, and so this also, I feel like this idea comes through in your latest collection of stories, Difficult Women, in the way that it captures complexity so well. So it was so satisfying to read in the way, like, each story wasn't really resolved. It was just a snapshot of each of these women's lives. So was this your intention with each of these stories?
In Difficult Women, you know, mostly my intention was just to tell stories that I was interested in telling, and to explore women's lives. I didn't have an agenda other than good storytelling. And each of the women in Difficult Women were characters that wouldn't let me go until I told their story.
And so where did you get your motivation to write about all of this kind of diverse collection of women in this story?
You know, I get my motivation from a lot of different places. Sometimes, you know, I'll meet someone really interesting and I will, I'll take parts of their personality and then I'll pull from somewhere else and I just start to build these characters or these circumstances, and then I think, who would be here and how would they react in this moment? So it's really just, you know, I'm always paying attention and making notes and thinking about just different circumstances that people, and women in particular, can find themselves in. And I love to just write stories about that.
And so each of the women as well in these stories, I thought that they were more like, you know, these damaged, complex, imperfect, sometimes frustrating characters. So is Difficult Women kind of a tongue-in-cheek title?
It's both. Yeah, it's tongue-in-cheek for sure. And also not. But I definitely was, as with Bad Feminist, playing with this idea of how people tend to perceive women and label them based on, you know, being unruly or having opinions or making decisions that we might disagree with. And people say, oh, you're difficult. And so I really wanted to play with that. And I think in most of the stories, I do.
Also in the stories as well, I felt a lot of the male characters, I mean, they were portrayed quite critically. Would you call these characters difficult men in a way?
Sure. You know, the men in the stories, not all of them, but many of them are not great men, and that's just something that's fun to write. They're definitely difficult, and they absolutely make the lives of the women that they supposedly love far more difficult than necessary.
Yeah, and I guess even though all of the stories were kind of written more from the women's perspectives, it's still kind of, it shed some nuance on the lives of the men as well, that it's not just these nasty, evil men, that they are also the product of, you know, this patriarchal society that we do live in. It's not just the women who are struggling. The men are kind of as well.
Oh, absolutely. You know, men are, just like women, a product of their environment. And that doesn't justify their behavior, but I do think that it explains it.
Mm. For sure. Now, our producer Joel has a couple of questions for you as well.
Cool. So you write and express ideas through various mediums, like Bad Feminist is a series of non-fictional essays, Difficult Woman is a collection of short stories, and you're also quite active on Twitter. Do you feel an obligation to sort of spread yourself between all of these mediums, or do you feel sort of free to jump between them and express your ideas based on the sort of strengths and limitations?
Yeah, I don't feel an obligation to any of them. I just go where I want to go and say what I want to say when I want to say it. I spend most of my social media time, of course, on Twitter, and because, you know, it's where everything is happening. It's always fast-paced, and quite honestly, that's where I get most of my news first, and then I, you know, go to the Times or somewhere else and figure out, like, okay, what's really happening. But it doesn't take up a lot of my time. It's just something that's running in the background, and I find that to be fun.
Mm. And I've noticed you have a very succinct writing style of short sentences and sort of one-liners. Do you feel like you're trying to impose this writing style across the various mediums that you write on, or do you think it's sort of like an inherent thing that it's just who you are and that's just how you write?
It's just how I write, absolutely. You know, sometimes I like to write denser, longer sentences, but oftentimes I find that succinct works better. It gets to the heart of the matter. I don't like to dance around things, especially in my writing, so I find that succinct language just gets to the point and oftentimes creates this space for the reader to really think and feel about whatever it is that I have to say.
Mm. And also, just finally, so your memoir Hunger is due out next month. What should fans of your work expect from this? Will it be sort of similar in style to these earlier works, but just a little bit more personal?
It will be similar in style. It definitely has an economy of language that I tend to use in all my writing. There's just no wasted words, and it's by far the most personal and horrifyingly difficult to write book I've ever written.
Mm.
But I also think it might be the best book I've ever written because I'm very honest in it about my body and what it's like to live in this world in an overweight body.
Mm.
Is that sort of scary to let that out into the world?
Oh, it was terrifying. There were times when I honestly thought I would just cancel the contract and give up writing because I just thought, oh, it's going to be so challenging to have this book in people's hands. But in the end, I finished and we'll see what happens.
Mm. Yeah, I guess kind of maybe with the other stories, you could put a little bit more distance between yourself and the critics because you're writing about perhaps other people's lives, whereas now it's like it's all about you, and so there's nothing, no barrier between you and the people who like to be critical about it on social media or in the media or wherever.
Absolutely, there's no safety when you expose yourself like this, so it's intimidating.
Mm, but I think it's probably very rewarding as well. When you get it done and people say great things and all that sort of stuff. I mean, me personally, I'm very excited to read it, and I'm also excited to hear your talk this weekend at the Writers' Festival.
I'm excited too. I'm really looking forward to talking to an Auckland audience, and it's great to be here.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Roxanne.
Thank you.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.
That was author Roxanne Gay, who is speaking at the Writers' Festival in Auckland this weekend. If you do want to go along to that, which I recommend you do, she is speaking on Sunday the 21st of May at 10:30 a.m. at the ASB Theatre in Aotea Centre. Tickets are available from Ticketmaster.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.